If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. The Lord in His divine providence, this was not scripted. The title of this message is The Light of the World. God is good. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. We're preaching verse by verse through the gospel according to John. And the Word of the Lord says that He was the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. The first point I want to make is Christ is indeed the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, Brother Steve was teaching in Sunday school, and he went over this verse. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is good, ain't He? Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And there was a testimony. I'm going to go over some testimonies of Christ being the light of the world to enforce this first point. Go with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Even as a baby, people knew that He was going to be the light of the world. Luke 2, 22. And when the days of her purifications according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy unto the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost, and that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, and a light to lighten the Gentiles, and a glory of thy people Israel. This is a Jewish man saying that he will be a light to the Gentiles. He knew that the light of the Lord will go beyond the Jewish people, even to the Gentiles. He knew that this child is going to be the light of the world. That is, He is the light of the world according to the testimony of Simeon. He is also the light of the world according to the testimony of creation. Go to Genesis. Genesis 1. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost came from eternity and created the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. and the evening and the morning were the first day. So on the first day, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost came from eternity and created on the first day light. But if you skip down to Genesis chapter 1:14, we're on the fourth day of creation, and God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and to let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light unto the earth, and rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So on the fourth day of creation, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. But on the first day, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost created light. So light has not always came from the sun. Light came from God Himself. Light came from God. That is the testimony of creation. Go with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1:18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." So the lost world is without excuse, given to the testimony of the creation that they even live in. God is the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world by the testimony even of creation. Christ is the light of the world on the testimony of eternity. Go with me to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 23. "And the city," that is New Jerusalem, "and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." So the sun's gone, the moon is gone, the stars are gone, but light comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. "And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it." So even by the testimony of eternity, the Lord is the light of the world. Turn with me to John chapter 12. Christ is the light of the world by testimony of the new life in the believer. John chapter 12, verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but that the world to be saved, but to save the world." So even the changed life of the believer is a testimony that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. It says, should not abide in darkness. Even by the testimony of really and truly, whenever people deny Him, they are rejecting light and accepting darkness. Go with me to John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, because his deeds should be reproved. So even whenever a person rejects the light of the world, that is a testimony that he is the light of the world. Whenever they reject Christ, they choose darkness over light. And the reasoning for them denying the Lord Jesus Christ, according to this verse, is because they love darkness rather than light. It said that, and this is the condemnation, that light is coming into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Most of the time, whenever you witness to someone, they may give an intellectual argument. They may say, well, they accept science, so-called. They may say that they accept evolution. They may say that they accept some religious philosophy, like Islam, like Buddhism. They may say that they're procrastinating getting saved. They may say, well, I'll just get saved later. They try to give every reason why they reject Christ. But the main reason, they can give whatever reason they want, but the reason, according to the Word of God, is not the reasons that they give. It is because they love darkness rather than light. Whenever you try to witness to people, they often get irritated with you. They often get very angry with you because they love darkness rather than light. How many of you like it whenever you're laying in bed and someone flips a light on all of a sudden? That is the reason, because they are lying in a bed full of sin in a dark, cold room. And whenever you flip that light on, there is nothing more than they want than for you to turn that light off. They love darkness more than light. They love darkness because their deeds are evil. My second point is preaching the light of the world, Jesus Christ, with the light of His Word. Go with me to John chapter 1, back to our text, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Hold your place there, though, because we're going to be coming back to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing that we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God should shine unto them. So it calls the gospel itself light. The gospel is in the Word of God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God shines His light, and it shines into our heart, and we are to reflect that light. So we are to reflect that light with the light of His Word. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So the Bible calls it a treasure in earthen vessels. If you have the Word of God abiding in you, if you have the light of God's gospel abiding in your soul, you have a treasure in earthen vessels. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Let's look at that verse before that one second. Verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It is a treasure in earthen vessels. His word is hidden in King David's heart. He has a treasure in an earthen vessel. Let's turn just a couple pages over to verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Watch this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The light of God's word is a light unto your path. The shepherds followed the light, the wise men followed the light of that star, and it led them all the way to the house of the Lord whenever he was a toddler. Just like the light of God's Word will lead you to the foot of the cross, and it will guide you safely home. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. John chapter 5, let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So this whole Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole Bible points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 9, let's go back to our text in John chapter 1, verse 9. John chapter 1, verse 9. He says, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Notice it says, the true light. The true light. That implies that there are false lights. The Bible says that the devil has transformed himself into an angel of light, and that false light deceives people. Jesus Christ is the true light. Religion and good works is that false light. The Word of God is the true light. And philosophy and false science, falsely so called, is the false light. The Word of God, God's Word, is the true light. But the Quran is the false light. The Word of God is the true light. But the Book of Mormon is the false light. God's Word points us to Christ. The Word of God says, the heart is deceitful, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. But the world says, follow your heart. God's Word says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. But the world says, love yourself. If you think that you don't love yourself enough, go a couple days without eating. If you don't think that you love yourself enough, stand out there in the cold long enough. But the Bible says to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Him. So the devil tries to deceive the world. The world is so deceived it's not even funny. But there is a light in God's Word. If people will hear the Word of God, it'll lead them straight to the foot of the cross. My next point is being the children of the light. We are in John chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 13 describes a supernatural birth. It says it's not a natural birth, it's a supernatural birth. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It is a supernatural birth. And whenever you are born again, you are born into the family of God. We are children of the light after salvation. Go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors till the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath set forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, treasure and earthen vessels, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heirs of God through Christ. So we can now have an intimate relationship with the Father. We can cry, Abba, Father. We could come to Him with all of our desires. We could come with Him with all of our burdens and cry unto Him, Abba, Father, and have a real relationship, an intimate relationship with the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ prepared that way. He is the reason why we can come to the throne of grace with boldness. And it says, heirs. The Lord Jesus Christ said, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So there is an inheritance in heaven waiting for the children of God, waiting for the children of light. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. How should the conduct of the children of light be? The conduct of the children of light. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. He's telling us how to conduct ourselves. For they that sleep in the night, and that they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet of hope, of the hope of salvation. So he tells us how to conduct ourselves as the children of light. Have you ever noticed that crime mostly happens at night? Have you noticed that most of the sins of the flesh happen at night? Most of the parties, the life of debauchery, the drunkenness, all happens at night. But God did not call us to the nightlife because we're children of the day. We are children of the light. So take comfort also. Let's read on. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, take comfort in this, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. So not only edify one another, but comfort one another in being the children of God. Help each other, assure one another, edify one another. Take comfort in being a child of God. There's also a fellowship within the children of light. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in him and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So, it's one thing to witness to the lost. It's one thing to talk to lost people, but you have to have boundaries. You must have boundaries, because if you get too intimate with the lost world, they will influence you more than you will influence them. We are not children of the night. We are children of the day. We are children of light. If we are Christians, we should conduct ourselves as such. We are the light of the world, and we are called to reflect that light. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You are called to be the light of the world. So if you are a Christian, you should be known as such. So how are you treating people? How are you treating people? Can people see Christ in you? Is every day a worship day? Or are you just worshiping on Sunday? There's a lot of people that don't even worship on Sunday. You just drag yourself on into church and, oh, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. It's good to be saved. I know a preacher one time, he was visiting a church. He was preaching revival at a church, and there was a deacon in the parking lot. He said, "How are you doing, brother?" "Oh, I'm saved." Well, did God do you a disservice by saving you by His grace? Some of us need to understand where we stand with the Lord and be the light of the world that He called us to be. My brother Chris Gerald, he was telling a joke. At least I hope he was telling a joke. he said one time there was a person that had a heart attack in the middle of a service, and they called the EMTs, and the EMT picked up three or four people before they got the right one. We're called to be the light of the world. Is every day a day of worship? Or are we just dragging our dead corpses up in here? But it's too easy to get discouraged by the world. You see, whenever you are the light of the world, people are going to get annoyed with you. Being the light of the world is like being in a room full of people and you're the only one there with a bag of tater chips. People get annoyed with how you rattle the bag. People get annoyed with the crunching while you eat. But deep down, everybody in the room wants a bag of tater chips too. So you were put in a situation. Are you going to put the bag of tater chips away? Or are you going to offer them a tater chip too? So whenever someone is down on you for being the light of the world, are you going to put the light out? Or are you going to offer some for them too? You see where I'm going with it, aren't you? But are you burnt out? This has been a long year. This has been a long couple of years. And it's so easy to get burnt out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 while we're in Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Whenever they would make tools and baskets out of reeds, and if they found a bruise on a reed, they'd break it and discard it. He's saying, I'm not going to break that reed. And a smoking flax, it's like on a candle. If you blow that candle out, there's a little bit of smoke there because there's still a little bit of spark there. At my house in North Alabama, we had a lot of pecan limbs. And so anytime you got a wind that blew above 3 miles an hour, I spent a whole afternoon picking up pecan limbs. And so I would put those pecan limbs on a burn pile and I'd burn them. And sometimes 3 or 4 days later, that pile of pecan limbs, I thought, was already burnt up. But I would go out at night to walk my dog, and you'd see a little spark somewhere on the bottom of that pile. And if you blow the ashes back, you'll see that spark light up. And if you put a little piece of grass on there and blow it again, it'll start coming back. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He ain't going to put that fire out. He is not going to put that smoking flax out. Some of us in here today need him to fan that little flame and to feed that little spark. Some of us in here today are burnt out because of how things have been lately. Are you going to sit there and be a smoking flax? Or are you going to ask the Lord to fan that little spark and let that spark turn into a flame again? The choice is yours today. Let us pray. Father, help us to be faithful. Help us to be the light of the world. But if we're going to be the light of the world, we have to keep our eyes on the true light of the world. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to recognize you today. Let this day be all about you, Lord. Not about us, but all about you. Help us to keep our eyes on you and be the light of the world that you called us to be. In Jesus' name, every head bowed and all eyes closed. Are you burnt out? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on today? Are you going to sit there and be a smoking flax? Or are you going to ask the Lord to fan that flame? The Lord said he won't quench that little spark. He will not quench that smoking flax. Why don't you come today and give your burden to the Lord? Why don't you let Him come? Come and fan that flame. Why don't you come? We're about to give an invitation. Has God spoken to your heart? Why don't you come today? You can leave here with peace in your heart. Why don't you come?